Good evening. We had our first lesson on the beginning of the introduction of studying the poor last week, and I think that we did quite well by covering the first area and a little bit of the second that we were going to cover. We talked about last time how the early church and the demonstration of their love toward the poor as they give liberally. And we got into a study of understanding the poor, meaning how you become poor and what God says about the poor in general. After that, we're going to take a look at the biblical provisions that God put in place in both the Old first and then in the New for the poor. And then we're going to talk about it a little bit with some conclusions. So last time we looked at the three different congregations. First, we looked at a couple of scriptures that looked at the church at Jerusalem and how they took care of the poor. And we looked at the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 11. And also we looked at the church at Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We also looked at what Paul said about helping the poor. He was asked in Galatians chapter 2 to remember the poor. We also see how he instructed, as we practice every first day of the week in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4, how he instructed them to lay by in store for a collection for the needy saints, didn't we? We also mentioned that in today's time that sometimes we revile the poor more than we remember the poor, I guess. But we also looked at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 20, which he said that the poor is someone that's going to inherit the kingdom of God. So we saw that last time, and a pretty good idea that the New Testament church, according to what they had done in Acts, took care of the poor, didn't they? We know there was a big uproar in Acts chapter 6. We didn't cover that last time about the Grecian widows that were in need, and somebody needed to take care of them. And so that was very much on the church's mind back then, because there was a lot of people that were hungry. So we took a look also at who are the poor. And we looked at two places that the Bible talks about. We looked at Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44, which is a story about the widow, the poor widow as she's defined, and how she cast in two mites. And he said that was all of her living. That was everything she had to live on. And so she was either very little or absolutely nothing, was one definition of the poor. Another definition of the poor was in Leviticus 14, verses 21 through 22, we saw where God said if someone was really poor, then they could kind of give a lot less for the sacrifices that they God expected. So that was one of the things. They didn't even have enough to buy a lamb, in other words, or two lambs, what was considered. Last time we also started looking at the causes of poverty according to what God says. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11 says that it could be laziness. And we all know that. I think that is probably the biggest reason that we think people are poor today, is we think they're lazy. But that's not always the case. In Proverbs 13, verse 18, we saw where refusing to heed correction will make you poor. You know, when people give you wise counsel and you choose to ignore that all the days of your life. Another one I think that we might think about a lot, or at least I do, is in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17, where he talks about pleasure seeking. The Bible, some translations call it sport. Always looking to play. Always looking for something to appeal to your senses that you can be entertained with. People basically spend all their money, and then they end up being poor. We also looked at Proverbs 23, where he talked about drunkenness and even gluttony. So that's where we got to last time. Let's look at some other reasons. Now that one, those four categories that we looked at were basically sinful actions that was due to their own individual, because they made those choices, didn't they, in those particular categories. Other times, it can be due to sinful actions from other people that take advantage. We would call it prey upon the poor. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 28 to pick up our lesson there today. Proverbs chapter 28. He talks about ushering. What does that mean? Anybody give me an idea of what that means, ushering?
Money.
Interest, to be exact. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 8 says, he that usury in unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. In other words, high interest and or extortion it would be actions that people prey upon the poor there. Turn with me to Isaiah, if you would, chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Let's begin reading here and notice what the subject matter is. Now, we're going to see this as a theme throughout several different books that we're going to look at tonight. But Isaiah chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, he says, "Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an..." I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 1. Let me move over to chapter 3. Verse 14, it says, "The Lord will enter into judgment with the accents of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts?" So we see here again, because of people's greed, that they are preying upon people that are easy to prey upon. If you continue on, look at the mentality of these people. Let's go down here to verse 17 and read through the end of the chapter. Notice this, the mindset of these folks he's talking to. He says, "Therefore the Lord will smite with the scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. The Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls and their round ties like rune. The moon, the chains and the bracelets, the mufflers, the bonnets, the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets of the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, the mantles, the wimples, the crisping pins, the glasses, the fine linen, and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle a rent, and instead of a well set hair baldness, and instead of a stomacher a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, thy mighty in the war, and her gate shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground." So, as we looked in the beginning there in verse 14 and 15, these folks are so greedy that they're preying upon the poor. He asks them, he says, "Why do you beat my people to pieces," in verse 15, "and grind the faces of the poor?" And then their whole mindset, as we looked, they were very materialistic, weren't they? That's all that was on their mind. And he says, "He's going to take all these things away." Just think of all that stuff. And there are people there that are poor, that have nothing to eat. And these folks had lots and lots of wealth. So he says, by greed of other people, the actions of other people, it causes sometimes people to be poor. If we'll turn over to Jeremiah.
When David ended, yeah. When they harvested, they were supposed to leave, you know, so much in the fields and the vineyards for the poor to glean.
They are, and we're going to cover that when we get to the provisions. God has always had the poor at heart. If you'll turn over to Jeremiah chapter 22, he says something here that's also covered. You notice in the scriptures how the people were students of the Bible. Even today, I think we would be so wise, everything we touch would be do amazingly well. We don't follow the practices that God has laid out for us. In Jeremiah chapter 22, beginning in verse 13, notice what he talks about. He says, "Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work." What's he talking about there? That builds his house by unrighteousness, and uses his neighbor's service without wages. Not paying anybody, kind of like, almost like slavery. He gets him to work him to death, build a house, and don't give him any money at all. And now look at the mindset again. He says here in the beginning of verse 14, He says, that saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. Shalt thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice, and then it was well with him? He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? But thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. So again, the same mentality, different subject. The other time was greed about beating, he says, his people into pieces. Here he's using neighbors, as he calls it neighbors, basically people around him in the community, and not paying them anything. And he's got this lush, very plush house. He talks about being a wide house, large chambers. But then he goes back and he talks about the people of the past. It says in verse 15, thou shalt reign because thou closest thyself with cedar. Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice? And then it was well with him. He says again in verse 16, he judged the cause of the poor and the needy, and it was well with him. He said, your fathers weren't like this. What happened to you? We don't always listen. Again, as we had mentioned up in earlier, we don't listen to wise counsel. But he was condemning that practice, wasn't he? Let's go over to Amos, if you would. Amos chapter 4. Over toward the back of the Old Testament. Amos chapter 4. He talks about here oppression. What does it mean to oppress someone? We hear a lot about that today in foreign countries. Yeah, oppress them is to, you know, another way of beating them down and to, you know, refuse the necessities of life to them. Governments oppress their people sometimes. That's why we've been in some wars, hasn't it? And he says here in verse 1, hear the word of chapter 4 of Amos. Hear this word, ye kind of Bashan that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. Interesting, isn't it? Verse 2, the Lord God has sworn by His holiness that, lo, the day shall come unto you that He will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks. And you shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. And then he says in verse 4, come to Bethel and transgress, and Gilgal multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes every 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God, and I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. What do we see there? We see oppression, we see greed, we see doing terrible things, but they want to offer these sacrifices, but not according to what God is expecting of them. That's the kind of mindset of people that take advantage of other people. We see that stuff today, but it's just not as done the same way. We see it in other countries. We don't see it here so much, do we? We have so many laws that protect people here. But in other countries, we get these tyrant dictator people, and they do this kind of thing. You see these mansion kind of palaces, and then you see people starving in the streets or living in tents and on street corners. So he says that oppression is something that affects the poor as well. We saw, if we went back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you might remember with the Macedonian church, we saw where they were greatly afflicted. He says in the first couple of verses, moreover, brethren, We do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. But that great trial of affliction, that persecution, is a reason that they were poor. It's basically saying here. What else can be, if you were to think, what other kind of things cause people to be poor? Now, we've looked at the sinful actions of those of their own doing, individuals. We just got through looking at sinful actions of other people. What about natural disasters? I mean, we've seen some of that around here, haven't we? When we saw that flood, we had people that were just losing their homes. They didn't have flood insurance. We see it's economic depression, war causes poverty, causes people to have nothing to eat, hurricanes and tsunamis that never would have thought you would see and hear a lot about that. I know that I remember us giving $5,000 a few years ago to that tsunami that I think it hit India somewhere. That was amazing, wasn't it? And so those people had nothing. They had no drinking water, had nothing. So there was a huge effort to help those people out that had been just terribly afflicted there. What about God's chastisement? Let's go back to Haggai. Haggai, that is a few chapters before Malachi and after Zechariah, I think it is. I don't remember. Haggai, there we go. Finally found it. Those books are so small, you can flip through four or five of them with a one flip if you're not careful. Now, if you have these very large Bibles, it's a lot easier. But the smaller ones, you can get a book on a page if you're good at it. So Haggai, notice what he says in chapter 1. Let's just read what was happening there and how God felt about these folks. Because of the chastisement that he was offering them. Haggai chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, but to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is in waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. And he says in the next two verses, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit, and I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all that labor of the hands. So that's he was chastising these group of people. He was very unhappy with them, wasn't he? If you go on over to Malachi, notice what he says in Malachi, and you might have saw Malachi as you were looking for Haggai. Turn over to Malachi chapter 3. You see our God very angry, and we see Him at the point of wrath, don't we? In verse 8 of Malachi chapter 3, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Again, he was very disappointed. They were not given as they should have been given. He called it robbery. Do we think of today, when we don't give to God like we ought to, that it's robbery? This is what studying the Bible does for us. It's why we study together, so that we can grow together and we can be more pleasing to God. People that never study the Bible don't even know that they're disobeying commandments. So sometimes it's God's chastisement that people become impoverished because he wants to do that to them. What about voluntarily? Is anybody here on the news just yesterday? There was a report that talked about this group of people. They go around the country and they voluntarily make themselves impoverished. They leave good homes. We're talking about even teenagers. Leave good homes to go live on the streets, to live a lifestyle that they say they can't get by living a life that the culture provides. I heard a very in-depth study on that. If you will turn to Luke chapter 9, we'll talk about someone else that voluntarily became impoverished. Luke chapter 9. Jesus was talking to some people here, and we had some people that were interested in following him, beginning in verse 57 of Luke chapter 9. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He voluntarily left the riches of heaven, didn't he, in order to do that. What about his apostles? Let's turn back to Mark chapter 10. And notice what, not that we can, we got to be careful here talking about Peter. But Peter made a statement for us all to read when he was talking about, we studied last time about, or last Sunday night, about things being possible in verse 27. All things are possible with God. But notice what Peter says in verse 28 of Luke, of Mark chapter 10. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. So he voluntarily made himself poor, didn't he? But what was he really after there? Well, I mean, it sounds kind of like he's like, I need to get some credit. I've given everything I have. And of course, he says, gives him a response there in verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, brethren, sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children of lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. And so he was basically saying, yeah, there are people that voluntarily, like the apostles, make themselves poor along with Jesus. So poverty has many causes. Moses and Jesus taught that the poor would be with us always, didn't we? Let's go back and look at that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Look what he says here in verse 11. What does Moses say? For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, Thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to the needy in thy land. If you will go to Matthew, go back up to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 26. Notice what we read in verse 11. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 11. For ye have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. In other words, he was saying the same thing Moses was, wasn't he? That the poor is a fact of life. Isn't that hard to believe, that there will always be poor? That's what God says. Notice what he says in Psalm 69 about the poor. Psalm 69. which is a very positive thing to show you how God's heart is out there for the poor. Psalm 69 and verse 33. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. So God cares about the poor. Remember how Jesus, when he looked out among the folks and he saw those that were fainting and he wanted to feed them, and even those that he knew were just coming for the food, they would listen to him, but he told them, he said, you just come for your, you want your belly filled. He still fed them, didn't he? The thing about it is, God has indeed made provisions for the poor. And as we come next time, we're going to study this more in detail, firstly in the law, and we'll see how that physical thing was meant there. And then we'll go also and look at the counseling of Solomon, as he talked about the poor when he was counseling his son, remember, in that book. And so after that, we'll look at the New Testament. So we'll stop here this time, and we'll pick up that next time as we get ready to do our invitation.